Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
I do want to try to express in words just a little bit of the appreciation that I have for my friendship with Jason. These are things that I've already said to him, but I think it bears that I say them publicly. All over Canada, there are Bible college and seminary students who gather together in pubs and coffee houses in their dormitories, and they fantasize about how great it would be to work together as friends at a church after they graduate. And I've had the amazing privilege of living that exact fantasy for 13 of the last 24 years. And that's, you know, thanks to God bringing Jason and me together. And we've done more than just work together. We've played hard together, indoors and out. We've debated and argued over hermeneutics and theology. We've perpetrated pranks on each other and on the office. We've even written more than one play together. We've also been vulnerable, and we've counseled each other. We've walked through the dark valley together on more than one occasion. And best of all, we've witnessed the miracle of new creation popping up all over Cochrane as we've seen God at work through this church. And I can say that my life thrives thanks in no small part to my friendship with Jason. So I can think of no better blessing than the words that Jonathan said to his friend David when David, thankfully Jason's not running for his life, but when David had to leave, Jonathan said, "Go in peace. We have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord." And so I love you, Jason. And God bless you. Now, I've served as your associate pastor for almost 7 years now, and obviously I haven't been as front and center as Jason. And I've worked with a lot of great people in this church, and for those that I get to work closely with, you know me well. But I would say most of Cochrane Alliance Church doesn't have as a much awareness of who am I, and so I just thought I'd just share a few details of introduction about myself for your benefit. First of all, I've lived in Cochrane off and on since the 1970s, and so I gotta admit, Cochrane didn't look like that when my family moved here, but it actually looked a lot more like that than it does now, believe it or not. And when I was 7 years old, I was in attendance at the very first worship service that Cochrane Alliance ever had. We were in a band portable at Cochrane High School. So I have a little bit of history here with this church family. And I can say that my spiritual life has been indelibly marked by the history of this church, for better or for worse. And I'll say mostly for the better. Cochrane Alliance is by no means, we're not a perfect church, but you're my church. And you all are my family. And so I don't take lightly this new responsibility. I consider it an honor. And even if it's just for a short term, I want to give you my pledge right now that I will do everything I can to steward the spiritual health of this family and champion the mission of our church for as long as it takes. Another thing you need to know about me is, yes, I am blind in my right eye. I lost sight in my eye when I was in grade one playing soccer in the field outside of what is now Holy Spirit School. And now, being in church, that had a massive impact on my spiritual life, but this trauma also impacted my life very significantly. And it's especially shaped my perspective on how folks treat people who look and act differently. And down the road, maybe there'll be a time for us to kind of talk further about what I mean by all that. But in the meantime, I just want you to know, feel free to talk to me about this part of my life. I'm very comfortable with it, and so don't be shy. Now, in a really weird twist of fate, that accident that happened to me when I was 6 years old actually is connected to my amazing wife, Rebecca. Like me, her father is also blind in one eye. And as the old saying goes, you usually marry someone that's like your mom or your dad, right? And so I guess that meant that we were meant to be even as far back as I was six. You would have been, were you even born yet? And speaking of Becky, she's even more behind the scenes than me when it comes to ministry things. She works as a pharmacy assistant in Calgary. And so I like to joke that while I'm the preacher in the family, Becky is the drug dealer. Truth be told, Becky has an amazing heart for people, especially for those on the margins. And she's way more comfortable in a room with a small group of people or one-on-one than in front of a big crowd. So I've spared her the embarrassment of coming up here with me today. Becky and I, we have a family together. We have three amazing adult daughters. Their names are Alethea, Bethany, and Eudora. And our kids are all adults, but that doesn't mean our nest is empty. I would say it's more revolving, let's say. Sometimes they move out, sometimes they move back in. And right now, the current configuration of our nest consists of Allie, the oldest, Dora, our youngest, as well as our awesome niece, Osie. And Allie and Osie were actually roommates in Edmonton for quite a while, up until the pandemic kind of nudged them back into our nest together. With all these women living under my roof, sometimes I feel more like a dorm parent at a sorority house than I do anything else. That must be my vocation. One last detail that I'll just share about myself is that 2020 has been really weird. Never in a life of Sundays would I have seen me here in this role. But here I am. I'm your leader for the foreseeable future, for better or for worse. And hopefully it'll be mostly for the better. Now, despite all these twists and turns that we've taken this year, I gotta say, I am encouraged. I'm optimistic about the future. And the reason why is because I have seen so many signs of God's mercy and blessing on Cochrane Alliance Church. First of all, God's blessed us with strong leadership in our board of elders. I have every confidence in these godly leaders that they'll continue to guide us both rightly and humbly. And second of all, Jason's assembled a pretty good staff here. The pastors, the office people, all of us who work to help lead us as a church. It is a joy to work with all of these people. And many of you know that firsthand, from firsthand experience. And you don't need me to remind you, I guess, but I will anyway. But lastly, and most importantly, another sign of God's mercy and blessing is our church family, all of you. You've continued to stay engaged through a very tough year, and I believe that we are seeing God's kingdom move forward despite all the hardships. God's not hindered by circumstances. He is God, and he will see his church bring the kingdom of God and bring the love and mercy of Christ to our community. And I, for one, am privileged because I get a ringside seat to seeing lots of transformation in a lot of people's lives. And I don't have time to go into all that for you today, but it gives me encouragement, and it gives me hope, and it gives me optimism. Anyway, I promise that I'm going to open God's word to encourage you, but before we go there, I just want to pause for a word of prayer as a way of launching us into this next season or next chapter of church life together. And the prayer I've chosen, it's a written one. It's one that was written by a man named Thomas Merton back in the 1960s. And I discovered this prayer right around the time that the pandemic hit Alberta this year. And I got to say, it's been my prayer for this year. And I trust that parts of it will resonate with you. It also sums up my hopes for the coming season of ministry that we have coming for our church. So let's pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I don't see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. Can anybody pray that prayer? But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. All right, so who's ready for an Advent sermon? I promise I won't make it too long. If you want to, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Because everybody thinks about Revelation when we think about Christmas, right? Now, according to the church calendar, the year begins with 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And this is called the Advent season. And it's called Advent because it's the period of time that builds anticipation for the coming of Christ. It's the Advent of Christ, coming. That's what the word means. So in the time that we have left, I just want to point out there are a couple of layers, two layers to the meaning of Advent, all right? First and most obviously is that Advent anticipates Christmas, the first coming of Jesus into the world. In this way, Advent points our gaze backward. So let's reflect for a moment on what the Advent of Jesus, Christmas, actually set in motion. If you read the Bible enough times, you'll see that the Bible portrays Jesus as a second Adam. Jesus is the first of a new humanity that God is creating in the world. His earthly life was the beginning of the work of new creation that God promised as far back as to Isaiah. In Isaiah 65, God says this through Isaiah. He says, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more." What an awesome picture. What an awesome promise. And the renewal of new creation, this was made possible in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This renewal of life is available to every single one of us today. Then, the risen Christ sent his Spirit and this created a new community. This is the new community of new humanity. This coming of the Spirit, it continued the fulfillment of God's promise to renew creation. and the book of Acts and all of church history, it tells us the story of this renewal process. And today, there's nothing quite like the church in all of the world. It's the multi-ethnic family of God, and it spans the globe. And all of this was set in motion in the cry of a tiny baby born in a stable in Bethlehem. This should provoke awe, wonder, and worship. But there's more. You see, there's a second layer to Advent. It's a time that anticipates the final coming of Christ Jesus. And in the final book of the Bible, Jesus' close friend John got a crazy glimpse into this ultimate reality. And with the words of Isaiah that I just read echoing in our ears, these words from John should sound very familiar. John 21, starting with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride, dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I told Randall that passage is like an onion for me, because no matter how you slice it, I always get wet eyes. So Advent doesn't just point us back, it also points our gaze ahead. And we are invited to hope for the day when God makes his ultimate home with us, his beloved creation. We are invited to hope for a time when every curse will finally be undone. When God moves in, he will do away with sickness and sorrow and death itself. This is what we Christians call the blessed hope. And every year at Advent, our hopes are renewed. Even this year, with all the talk about pestilence and protests and pain, even this year, our hope is rekindled. Now, whoa, wait a minute, Mike. What are you talking about? Look around. The world is a tire fire. What makes you so sure there's reason for this blessed hope? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me share one last thing from John's vision, okay? Verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Jesus says, "I am making all things new." And maybe this might sound like exegetical nitpicking, but one thing he's not saying, he's not saying, "I'm making all new things." And there's a big difference. You see, Jesus' plan isn't to scrap creation. It's to renew it. So another way of saying this is that the blessed hope that we have in Christ is not an escape from our current conditions, but a transformation of our current conditions. I am making all things new. Advent doesn't point to an escape. It points to transformation. I am making all things new. Present tense. Jesus is not some escape hatch that we're going to find in the future. In Christ, God is transforming his beloved creation in the here and now, in you, in me, through you, and through me. I am making all things new. How many of us are just waiting to escape 2020? When can we just get back to normal? What if, in all our wiggling and whining, we miss out on transformation? Let me just be frank for a minute here. This is my first Sunday as your interim lead pastor, and that means we're entering into a season of transition, which may take a long while before we get back to a state that could be called normal. And don't even get me started on all the complications that the pandemic is causing us and pushing that normal feeling further and further away. We might be tempted to rush through transition and maybe skip the part about listening to God, even though we've spent like how much time learning and thinking and listening to God this fall. There is the temptation to skip over that part. Some of us might be tempted to just check out spiritually, you know, wake me up when September ends, right? Some of us might be given to despair and we just want to hide and emotionally cocoon ourselves until somehow the magic of normal returns. Let me challenge you today. And this challenge is for me too. This is for each and every one of us. In the spirit of Advent, let's make our eyes, our ears, and our hearts ever more attentive to the transforming work of God. Like I said earlier, I believe I've been given, and I think we all have the opportunity to get a ringside seat to transformation that God is doing in the world. Let's pay attention. He who is seated on the throne is saying, I am making all things new.